This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is Aisha Ahmed, your host for the session. I welcome you all to IOU's first ever online conference on psychological well-being, Zolace 2015. Today is day 2 of the conference and we have finished 2 mind-blowing sessions till now. Hope you all are having a wonderful and informative time. This is the 3rd session for the evening and is titled Pregnancy and Depression. The speaker for this session is Sister Bela Khan. Before I hand over the session to Sister Bela, please allow me to introduce her to you all. Sister Bela Khan is a life coach, author, and speaker. She trains passion-driven women to come out of their misery, move past the obstacles, and live a life of fulfillment by making a difference in this world. Her articles appear in Understand Quran, Habibi Halaqa, Productive Muslim, and Saudi Life. She has many certifications in the field of personal development, success, relationship, entrepreneurship, and leadership. She also has diplomas in Quran and Hadith. She is passionate about empowering women to rise to the potential that Allah created in all of us to lead mankind to a higher status. Without further delay, presenting Sister Bela Khan.
Let's get started, inshallah. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everyone how are you guys doing الحمد لله so we are inshallah going to be covering pregnancy and depression I hope and I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial for all of you inshallah So depression in pregnant women starts with a little bit of, really my voice is low, I think it's quite high. Okay, alhamdulillah. So up to 33% of women experience clinical depression or anxiety or an anxiety disorder at some point during pregnancy. You will see that these stats might differ, but the point is that a very significant portion of women, they do suffer with depression during their lifetime. Inshallah, those who are for the people, if my voice is troubling, then you can inshallah log out and log in. And inshallah, the rest of you can guide those people, inshallah, right? What are the symptoms of depression? So how would you identify if you are depressed or not? Right? So, being in a depressed mood most of the time for at least 2 weeks, no longer enjoying the things that you used to enjoy, right? It's a psychological condition in which you do not enjoy the once pleasurable activities, right? A decrease in trust in the world around you, so just lying down, you're just hiding your face on the pillow, and you're not participating in day-to-day activities that you used to. Guilt, a sense of worthlessness, and low energy levels physically. Other symptoms include poor concentration, appetite changes, feeling hopeless, thoughts of suicide, getting too much or too less sleep. Then if you talk about anxiety disorder, some of the symptoms include excessive worry that's difficult to control. Being worried is okay, but if you are getting worried very excessively and you're just getting too much out of control, then there might be a problem. Irritability. Pregnant women do get irritated very easily because there are, you know, so many hormonal changes, so many physiological changes are going on inside your body. So it's okay, but irritability, again, it increases to an extent where it becomes very troublesome, then you need to get alert, inshallah. Some tension or muscle aches, disrupted sleep patterns, feeling restless inside, fatigue, and poor concentration. some risk factors for anxiety and depression. Remember, all the women, they are prone to, depression during pregnancy, but then there are some risk factors which increase the likelihood of having depression or generalized anxiety disorder. Right, so I'll just quickly discuss these one by one. Personal or family history of depression or anxiety. So if you had a history of depression, if you had it earlier, then the likelihood of having depression in pregnancy increases, right? So be careful, inshallah. Being a young mother, if a girl is very young and she has not come out of her own childhood and she is not psychologically ready to bear the pregnancy, again, the chances of having depression increases. Having very poor social support. So inshallah, I'll be talking more about it in a while, but a pregnant woman needs social support. Remember, especially if you are among those who are surrounding that pregnant woman, then please try to understand her situation. She is going through so much physiological changes, so much psychological changes. She is not able to do the things that she was able to do earlier, right? So how would you feel if you could, you know, lift a box just 1 month ago and now you cannot do it? If you could concentrate on everything you were doing and now you cannot concentrate on your studies or anything, how would you feel? Actually, if you could do something earlier that you cannot now do, it generally makes you irritable. So the people who are surrounding them, I usually encourage those people a lot, have lots of stamina, have lots of patience, because this is a time that she needs your support like nothing else. And it's just not for the sake of that pregnant woman, but also for the sake of that child who's coming, right? So having poor social support might include, you know, having very troubling in-laws. Lots of cases come to me when, you know, pregnant women, subhanAllah, the last case was the lady was in her 9 months and the in-laws were making her life hell. So it gets very troublesome if you have a poor social support system, or the husband doesn't understand you, or, you know, you don't have any shoulder to cry on, or if you're living alone, you usually, you know, if a girl gets married in another country far away from parents and husband goes to the office and you have no one to talk to, that also increases the chances of having the depression. Then we have experiencing marital conflict. So again, husband is not supportive enough. What happens is that when these young men, they all of a sudden they, you know, get into marriage, and then all of a sudden then they, you know, get into the experience of becoming a father. What happens is that, you know, subhanAllah, they don't know what's happening. And sometimes I get so confused that either the wife is pregnant or the husband is pregnant, because the husband becomes more irritable than the wife. And he says that, I need time. Yes, man, you need time. But if you do not know how to deal with it, then learn how to deal with it, you know. Go through the articles as much as the ladies need to, you know, learn about pregnancy and all these things, which I'll come to later. But also the husbands, they need to learn about, you know, how to deal with a pregnant woman, how to deal with a pregnant wife, how to make her happy. You know, a lot of sisters complain, you know, if we get irritable during pregnancy, our husband gets more irritable. So, you know, it gets very nasty. So the husband has to be very supportive. He just has to be, you know, just like the parents who are supportive selflessly and they are just doing whatever they need, you know, whatever the girl wants or whatever the daughter wants. So, you know, little act of love, it cherishes the experience. So, you know, sister was telling me that someone she knew, he would bring something to eat every day that she likes, maybe nice ice cream or chocolate or whatever she likes. So just show little gestures of love, and that's going to strengthen the bond. And also I'll encourage all the men to learn about how to deal with the pregnant women, right, or pregnant wives. So if you're experiencing marital conflict, that it can make the situation worse, of course. If the husband is not supportive enough, if the husband is abusive, either he's abusing physically or he's abusing psychologically. And on the side note, it's very unfortunate that in some cultures, you know, there is no concept of psychological torture. And unless the girl comes back to home burned or bruised, the parents would not realize what is she going through. So anyway, then if you are divorced, if you are a widow, you know, a single mother, they have much more responsibility, so it gets more difficult for them. Having experienced traumatic or stressful events in the past year, so maybe someone you loved, he or she died, and you know the pain and the grief is not yet over that you have conceived, right? So then chances of having depression increases. I remember there was a woman whose father died and she conceived after a very short while, and she was depressed throughout the pregnancy because she could not get over the pain of losing her father, and then pregnancy also showed up. Unplanned pregnancy. Now this is very common. Sometimes, you know, you do not plan a pregnancy and it happens. You were not ready to become a mother, or the guy was not ready to become a father, or, you know, you had already got so many kids and now you're expecting again. So this may also lead to severe depression. And, you know, what does a lady do? She makes it worse by repeating it over and over again. Oh, this pregnancy was unplanned. Oh, you know, I did not want another child. Oh, this pregnancy, I'm too young to have a child. And the more they repeat it, the more they hurt themselves. Right? Next is pregnancy complications. I'll go through this quickly. So, for example, you have high blood pressure, diabetes, or any other physical condition that can make it worse. Low income, finance is a very important factor. Remember, if you are struggling financially, then naturally many thoughts, they occupy you. You know, how am I going to provide for the newborn? Where is the food going to come from? Where are the clothes going to come from? And this mostly happens with people who have less tawakkal on Allah, because Allah says, when I send a child, the risk is on me. So, wallahi, I have seen parents who are even worried about the university fees of the newborns. I swear upon Allah. So, subhanAllah, we need to take things easy, but anyway, we'll discuss it, how to deal with all these, inshallah. So all these factors, they would combine to increase the risk of having pregnancy or anxiety during pregnancy. Now, what's the effect of depression? Remember, a lot of people, especially who are less educated, they do not understand the concept of depression. And that makes the things worse for the pregnant women. Because sometimes, you know, especially in-laws, they think that she's just trying to seek attention. She's just trying to seek attention. SubhanAllah, she has already got an attraction by being pregnant, right? Alhamdulillah. So, the way I said, marriage conflict, divorces, financial responsibilities, and subhanAllah, the woman is working also, then it can increase the likelihood of having depression. And what happens to the kid? What happens to the child if the woman is suffering with depression? Malformation, growth retardation, spontaneous abortion. So the baby is aborted. You know, you had a miscarriage and you don't know what happened. Oh, well, she was having depression and nobody knew. Preterm delivery, smaller brains. These babies cry a lot and they're very hard to soothe. More behavioral problems in adolescence and child adulthood. So the effect is not just on the babies. It's a very far-reaching effect of your depression. That's why it's so very important to deal with depression. Lower neurological test scores, and these are just a few of them because time does not permit me to get into the detail of each of them. So, inshallah, you have the idea. As far as treatment is concerned, let me introduce you to 360 degree wellness program. And according to this, we actually deal with all the aspects of human needs with this program. So remember, human beings, they have four kinds of needs, or there are four spectrums of needs that have to be fulfilled or met. So you have spiritual needs, mental needs, emotional needs, and physical needs. Now please understand this concept pretty clearly, because the rest of the presentation is not going to make sense if you do not understand this concept completely or clearly. Remember, in order for us to function properly, these needs have to be met, and they have to be in perfect harmony with each other, right? It shouldn't be like you are neglecting one area and focusing a lot on the other area. They have to be in harmony with each other, right? If you neglect one area, the other area will be affected. So inshallah, we just want to be having a look at it from the perspective of a pregnant woman, because What happens is that when you are pregnant, these needs are challenged a little bit, you know, they increase a little bit. And you have to be more meticulous in taking care of yourself and, you know, helping yourself to meet these needs. So we'll start with the physical needs, inshallah. Oh, sorry, we'll start with, what's the first one? Spiritual needs, okay. The first one is the most important one. We'll start with the spiritual needs. So remember, for us, spirituality is the biggest and the greatest need. And it's true for all human beings, whether it's Muslims or non-Muslims. If this one area is neglected and you are taking care of all other areas, there will still be a great hole, a big gap, and you will never feel fulfilled. Right? You know, I'll give you a quick example. Sometimes you would have seen, depressed patients or depressed patient people. They have it all in terms of, you know, material things. Their physical needs are being met. They are wearing designer clothes. They are, driving their Lexus or whatever car is in the market these days. And they are intellectual elites. If you talk to them about politics or all that, they have intellectual approach to everything. They know how to deal with their emotions. But the only area that's neglected is spirituality. It's totally compromised. It's totally neglected. It's just that, you know, we are fulfilling all the needs of the body and mind and heart, but the soul is screaming and nobody is listening. And remember, that's the major area, and that's a major reason for depression. And remember, that's also a major reason of the fact that more and more psychologists are now integrating religious treatment into their therapy. Because earlier, before, I guess, 2000, there were very less research on the effect of religious treatment, on patients, and if you integrate religious treatment into therapy, if it's going to work or not. But subhanAllah, now there are more and more researchers which are supporting the fact that if you integrate religious treatment into your therapy, then it's definitely going to make it more effective. So, some of the ways in which we can fulfill our spiritual needs. Naturally, time does not permit me to get into the detail of all the needs, but some of which are very important. Let's have a look at it. Gratitude. So gratitude, why have I chosen it? Because that's the easiest and quickest way to be happy and take control of your negative emotions, right? You count Allah's blessing and, you know, you feel that your depression subsides to a great extent. And many research show that people who are grateful, they are more positive, they are more happy, they are more full of life. And it dramatically reduces the level of stress. It dramatically decreases the depression and anxiety. So first thing that I can recommend is to maintain a gratitude journal. Remember, pregnancy itself is a huge, huge blessing, whether it is planned or not, or even if you have a dozen kids, right? Researchers, they also show that mothers who resented being pregnant, they had children with more emotional problems. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you something, cherish it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, perhaps you don't like a thing, but there's khair in it for you. It is better for you. Right? So start noting down all the things in your gratitude journal. Again, I'm saying, even if you have a dozen kids, it doesn't matter. So if you, you know, notice and start writing down these little things, you know, they will make you happy. Oh, my baby kicked, and my baby did this, and today I'm feeding you tumbling and all that. So, you know, you start enjoying the experience and gratitude will come very naturally. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that, you know, if you're grateful, then I will give you more. So you never know that this baby might be a source of immense happiness, immense pleasure. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives izzah to people through their children. So, you know, don't sabotage the experience by, you know, being short-sighted that I have dozen kids or I did not want to be a mother right now. It's always Allah's planning. They plan, and I would say re-plan, and Allah plans, then Allah is the best planner, right? So the more, the sooner we submit, the, you know, easier it's going to be for us to accept and enjoy the experience. Salah, take Salah very seriously. This is direct connection between us and Allah. So please do take proper care of your salah. I know it becomes difficult sometimes because you have this, you're having nausea and you're having weakness and all that. So remember that we have been given ease. If you can't pray standing, then sit down. Take it easy. Meditation is also reported to reduce stress. And for us Muslims, so what can be a better meditation than salah? Salah with proper khushu is the finest form of meditation. I wouldn't compare salah to meditation. Salah is much more than for us than just mere act of meditation. But all the benefit of meditation comes to us, a Muslim, by performing the salah. Then recitation. Apart from everything else, this is the best time to introduce your baby to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? There is so much negativity all around us these days that there is no way to connect your, there's no better way to connect your baby to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than recitation. Now your reason for recitation is twofold. One is that you want to maintain your own connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second is that you would want your child to connect with Allah and listen to the entire Quran in his or her mother's own voice, right? So research tells us that a 6 month, I'll read it out, just to be on the safe side. A 6 month old fetus can move his body to the rhythm of his mother's speech. So, you know, if he can move his body to the mother's speech, I think this is the best gift that you can give to your baby, recitation of Quran and bonding them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this. Also, by doing this, we can expect them to turn out very righteous, pious, and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Modern day researchers have also proven that music has an effect on an unborn child and that they are able to recognize it once they are born. SubhanAllah. So we can always replace music with the best voice in the world, that is of Quran. And on a side note, very quickly, when you're reading Quran, just, you know, do not read it for the sake of, you know, making your tajweed more effective or just, you know, that's also a part of it. But remember to connect with the Quran. You know, look for the verses that might connect to your situation. Open with intention. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what message do you have for me today? Which verse can make my situation better? What do you want me to do today? You know, how do you want me to overcome my depression? What tips do you have for me today? Right? So when you will recite Quran with this intention, you will have a sort of a personal message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day, personal tips from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day, and it will help you to overcome your depression like nothing else can. Okay, let's move on. Istighfar. So our depression and anxiety, mostly they are the result of our own sins. You never know. So the best remedy we can have is that we can do istighfar. Because when you do istighfar, naturally your sins are erased and then the effect of your sins are also erased, which is depression. So the depression will disappear automatically. And remember, if you're struggling financially, again, istighfar is one of the best ways to bring more barakah in your life. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you cling to istighfar, then I will provide for you from where you cannot even imagine. Right? My mother tells me that we are four siblings, and she tells me that with every birth, like me and my brothers, with every birth, my father got promotion. SubhanAllah. So it makes me so happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, he has his plans. That's why we say that Allah is the best planner. One last thing I wanted to talk about when it comes to istighfar. Yes, actually, you wouldn't want to have the negative effects of your sin on your children. So be in constant state of istighfar. This is a reminder to myself first, and with lots and lots of du'as, inshallah. So that's it, mashallah. Umm Aisha, very happy to know that your relationship with Allah, because ultimately your relationship with Allah determines everything. You know, Allah's laws, they are so strong that if we break one law of Allah, we have to pay the price. So, you know, try to fulfill all your faraid, make him happy, make him your best friend, talk to him 24/7. You know, if you are having any trouble, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm feeling nauseated, please help me. Or, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not, you know, I don't feel like getting up and praying. So the way sometimes I pray, I said, I cannot do it, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do it for me. And I, the moment later, I feel the energy to do something that I am supposed to do, right? So ultimately, remember, if you're suffering with anything, just try, recall if you have broken any law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? The quicker you fix it, inshallah, the quicker Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fix your problems, inshallah. Okay, let's talk a little bit about mental needs, reading, taking help, depression, stress. So I always encourage the pregnant women to educate themselves, you know. Subhanallah, if you're learning swimming, or if you're learning to quick, to cook, or, you know, you buy a recipe book and then you learn all about the measurement and all that stuff. So pregnancy is also an experience where you need to, yes, you have to listen to, you know, your mothers, your aunts, and whosoever. There are so many, subhanAllah, unwanted suggestion givers around us. But you would also want to educate yourself. You have some mental needs. So, you know, read books, attend programs that can help you to discover more about pregnancy and how to overcome the challenges, right? It's just, you know, learning to, you know, memorizing the recipe before cooking something, or just knowing the depth of the swimming pool before diving in it. So it will, you know, learning saves you a lot of time, because a person who has not learned something, he will learn it by trial and error. And trial and error takes a lot of time, right? So it's just that if you're feeling nauseatic, you will try eating one thing, it doesn't work, you'll eat another thing, it doesn't work, you'll learn another thing, and maybe the 10th thing will work. Right, and if you have taken a course, or if you have read it somewhere that, okay, if I'm feeling nauseatic, I should take a ginger tea. You know, it will save you so much trouble. It will save you so much time. Does that make sense? Okay, alhamdulillah. So take help. You can always talk to an experienced person, maybe a doctor or someone. You know, you can learn from their experience. But definitely there are things that you would want to do differently. You would not want to blindly follow someone. Depression, just a little bit here, because depression is related to mental needs very strongly. So a depressed mom is just equal to a depressed child. Research, they again tell us that a mother's depression retards the normal growth of a child and affects his or her memory and learning in later life. It also leads the child to become fearful. So again, the mother's depression has a very far-reaching effect, you know, your mental condition would affect the mental condition of the child. So if you are feeling depressed, down, you have to make an extra effort to get up and, you know, bring yourself back to life again. Stress, quickly resolve stress, because stress produces a hormone, it's called catecholamine, and it affects the nervous system of the child. So if you're fighting with your husband, if you have work overload, whatever stress it is, learn the techniques to resolve stress and resolve it as quickly as you can. And when we talk about reading also includes, you know, reading out loud to your child, you know, even if the child is not yet born. You know, tarbiyah starts before the child is born. So it will instill the habit of learning in your children later in your life. And if you cannot do it alone, then maybe you would want to seek help from your hubby, and maybe sometimes he could read it out so the child becomes accustomed to the father's voice as well. You know, sometimes you can read out, inshallah. So reading is a very good habit to meet your mental needs. Please try to inculcate that in yourself. Okay, emotional needs, subhanAllah. So much lagging behind time. Again, prenatal researchers believe that there is some link between mother's thoughts and feelings and how her baby feels, and that from 6 months on a pre-born baby can, that a 6 months old pre-born baby can share mother's emotions via hormones associated with them. Right? So as the baby is growing, she's constantly receiving messages from you, and the baby responds to the sounds at about 20 weeks into pregnancy. Right, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala also says this in the Quran. So talk to them, right? So just, baby, you know, daddy's coming, and, you know, baby, mommy's getting ready, and I'm going to pray, and, you know, don't kick mommy when she's praying, and all these nice things. It's a very cute experience. I used to do it with my daughter when she was not born. I'm still doing it. So, you know, it really bonds you with the baby. right? So I'm going to read out for you, focus, and it's just like you're letting the baby know what's going on in the outer world, right? And the other thing is, if you have decided the name, if you know the gender, then call them by names, right? Rather than calling baby, call the names, whatever it is, Musa, Isa, or Aisha, whatever it is. So this is also a way to strengthen the emotional bond with the baby. Hug people more often because it produces a hormone called oxytocin. Oxytocin is also known as love hormones. Yes, so many Aishas, mashallah. So oxytocin, it has anti-stress and pro-social effects. I'll do it very quickly. So visualize. What is visualization? Visualization is you can visualize a very happy family, and you know maybe you can visualize that you and your husband and the baby is going out, and you know they're chilling, going to Cornish and playing with the ball and all these things. So when you imagine all these good things, you know again happy hormones will be. Start feeling happy, and then you know who would care about depression when you are visualizing all these good things, right? And relationship with the spouse, again, you need to ask for something, right? Ask for the love and support. The way I was telling my husband that I need your support, I need your unconditional love, right? I can go crazy sometimes, and you still have to love me, and you still have to make me realize that you know I'm the most important person for you. So, you know, you tell them that I need support from you. I'm pregnant. I can go crazy sometimes. You know, I can be, and you will be direct victim of my mood swings, you know. But, you know, unconditional, that's where, you know, you can really test the patience of some people in your life. So tell people that you need support from them. When I was having my first child, I only have one child. So when I was expecting my baby, so I used to tell my friends, I was studying in university at that time, and I used to tell them, see, I am not myself these days. I'm going crazy. Please help me, right? It's okay, sister, if your husband is away from you, because, subhanAllah, I spent my entire pregnancy without my husband. But make sure that you are connected to him somehow, Skype. You know, if you have so many tools today. And when you're Skyping, make sure that the... speaker is open so that your child can also listen to the voice of your husband, because it's very important for a child to connect to the father during pregnancy. During pregnancy, you should realize that this is my dad. Okay, mom is talking to my dad, right? So anyway, you just make sure that you're talking to him every day, right, sister? Okay, what's next? Physical need. Okay, so many people talk about physical need. I'll just quickly touch upon it because, you know, you have, when it comes to pregnancy, everybody is giving you some physical advices. So, very quickly, remember, every deficiency in food, it will lead to some sort of trouble in baby's development. So make sure that you're having a balanced diet. Avoid processed food. I know it's very easy to say processed food are all around us, but let's avoid it as much as we can, right, inshallah. So honey, barley, grapefruit, sweet melon, they tend to eat in pregnancy, and dates help a great deal in delivery. So inshallah, try to add them in. All the sunnah stuff, you know, you can add them into your diet. Exercise, the way I used to exercise in my first pregnancy, subhanAllah, I used to play a lecture. I used to hold my cell phone and play a lecture in my phone, and I would walk, and I was strictly listening to a child development, you know, series. So that I used to kill two birds with one stone, right? Dates. Maryam alayhi salam story, remember? Okay. So I used to walk, and I used to listen to the lecture. So some exercise they also help in delivery, so you can ask your physician or your doctor about it. So keep, you know, the physical activities, you do not stop it. Naturally, you need more rest, but remain physically active, because if you are physically active, then it's definitely going to aid the delivery. And when you're walking, you know, inshallah, you can take a walk in nature, because, you know, you'll get a chance to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also some of the research say that a 10 minutes walk in nature boosts the brain chemistry to increase happiness. So these are some of the physical tips. Lifestyle choices, goal-oriented life, the busier, the happier. Remember, whether you are pregnant or not, if you do not have a goal-oriented life, depression will be, you can be a prey to depression very easily. It will attack you very easily, right? So, have a goal-oriented life. Keep yourself busy. Do not give up your normal activities unless naturally you need rest and unless extremely necessary. You know, the busier you keep yourself, the lesser time you'll have to set over pregnancy, right? Hang out with positive people. That's very important. Who boost your morale, who understand you, and who help you to, you know, deal with the challenges of pregnancy. Just a little more about goal-oriented life. Remember, set small targets for yourself and involve your husband in everything you do. Set small targets with your husband and rejoice and celebrate when you achieve them. So, for example, you know, reading a book together or exercising together. And then, again, set a new goal. And then when you accomplish a goal, every time you accomplish a goal, you know, your self-esteem increases and you become more happy. And again, you know, depression will subside easily. All right. Something from strictly from psychological perspective, that if all these things do not work, and I am very doubtful that if you stick to these things, they do not work. But if for any reason, if these things do not work, then it's the time to see your psychologist, right? You might need a few sessions of cognitive behavioral therapy that usually helps. And depending upon the severity of your depression, you might need some sessions. As far as medication is concerned, I personally do not suggest having medicine a lot. I'm quite against pharmacy, but just, my reason is that short-term effects of medicine, of antidepressants, have been studied, and they say that antidepressants do not have any short-term effect on the child, right? But long-term effects are yet to be fully studied, right? So better safe than sorry. Try to use all these non-medical way of treating yourself, and inshallah, you can have a happy pregnancy and you can overcome your depression. But if all these things do not work, then please do go and see your psychologist. And I have literally rushed in these last few minutes. I hope this was beneficial for you. And jazakumullah khairan kathira for your patience. I'll now open the floor for the questions. Okay. Please do not throw questions so fast. Let me scroll up and see. Okay, it's just 5 months to marriage and I have completed my first trimester. So my pregnancy is unplanned, but I don't feel any sort of emotional attachment with the child. It's an indefinite. Yes, sister, it happens. When the pregnancy is unplanned, then, you know, you have to put in an extra bit of effort to develop that emotional bonding with the child. What happens is that, you know, it takes a lot of time for them, and if the sister is saying that I have accepted it, there is some part of her which has not accepted it as yet. Then you have to put in an extra bit of effort. What you need to do is to, you know, make yourself realize that if you remain childless, you know, sometimes you have to do this negative reinforcement. If you remain childless for the rest of your life, then what? Right? And then you can all use all those emotional tips. You can visualize a happy family. Okay, if the child comes into this world, you know, definitely I'm going to be very happy and we'll hang out together and we'll play with the child. Look at the children around you who are happy, who are nice and fine. You know, try to strengthen yourself emotionally. The more you strengthen yourself emotionally, inshallah, you will eventually have a bond with the child. I'm sorry, I cannot take the question sequence-wise because they're just popping in front of me, so I'll take random questions, I'm sorry. Now, because of the sisters always play musical, they get to keep them calm, and the kids also don't seem to calm with Quran. See, sister, if you have never recited Quran during your pregnancy, during, you know, the early childhood, then what happens is that, subhanAllah, they do not recognize what Quran is, and it's very alien for the kids, right? So the more you recite Quran during your pregnancy, the more you familiarize your child during your pregnancy, the more effect it is going to have. So Quran is not like a, you know, it's not a magic book that a child is crying and you play Quran and the child, you know, the child becomes quiet. No, you have to put in an effort. You have to make him acquainted with Quran earlier, right? And do not use it as a tool to calm your child when the child is crying. You know, even if the child is not crying, one of my ustaz, she suggested that, you know, just play Quran in front of, besides the newborn, when, you know, when she's playing or she's sleeping or whatever she's doing. And then that's a way to, you know, maybe you can make them more accustomed to Quran. So if the child is accustomed to Quran, he or she is listening to the Quran during pregnancy, during this, then he or she will realize that it's something good. If you are playing music all around, if he or she is listening to the music, then definitely she'll be more happy with the music, right? Sister, I lost your question. The sister who posted the question, we did my one of which is pregnancy, and sister, I'm just unable to scroll down to see your complete questions. You are saying that you were a very good student at IOU, but then you started expecting, and then what happened? Who has made you fearful of delivery? Every time I visit my gynae, I just fear. Sister, please, with delivery, everybody has different experience, right? Do not listen to the horror stories. That's the best advice I can give you. What happens is that, you know, people will tell you it's just like 100 bones cracking together, and these are not something very good to hear. Why don't you focus on the fact that when you're delivering the baby, so many sins are being forgiven, and, you know, it's time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to the du'as, so make lots of du'as. So when you focus on the bright side of delivery, inshallah, you'll not be fearful of that, right? And then if you're just listening to the horror stories, then nobody can help you. Unplanned pregnancy, it's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided the best for you. Don't worry. It's not a very good idea to share my personal experience. I just spent 1 month with my husband, and then he left for Saudi Arabia, and I left for my university, and then I got pregnant. You know, but now when I look at my child, I think this is the best thing that happened to me. So, you know, all these things, yes, it makes you very sad that, you know, I got pregnant and it was unplanned. But inshallah, when you see the face of your child, you'll forget everything and you'll have plenty of time. The child doesn't always disturb you. You know, you still have plenty of time to spend with your husband. You have 9 months at least. So get to know him better, spend some more time with him and cherish the experience, right? Sister, I'm trying to scroll it down, but I don't know whatever reason, I am just getting half of your questions. So you said you're a very good student at IOU, then you conceived. Yes, sister, please rewrite. Okay, so you were very good with Dawa, and... Okay, sister, see, what's stopping you to continue? Okay, this is the question. But I could not continue with my studies this year due to many factors. One of these is pregnancy. I was very excited about. Okay. Sister, so my question is, what's stopping you to continue your dawah? Or what's stopping you to continue your studies? You know, naturally, it happens with me. So many times, I felt that I should give up my job. I should not take any more speaking requests. And I should. But at the end of the day, if this is something that makes you happy, if giving dawah is the ultimate goal of your life, if it makes you happy, then, you know, continue this thing. You know, if you were doing it on a very large scale, what I would recommend is to just, you know, just shorten the amount and shorten the time period, but continue it. Because nothing can make you as happy as giving dawah. I was telling my mom the other day that when I'm teaching, I'm like, you know, all healthy. Nothing happens to me. But when I sit idle, then I feel, oh my God, it's hurting here, and this. And it doesn't matter if you just because of pregnancy we have become a little lesser, you know, a little bad student or whatever it is, then it doesn't matter. Allah is giving you a better opportunity. And subhanAllah, with this internet, with these stuff, you know, you have so much exposure and you have so many ways to doing dawah. Please continue that. Please don't leave anything because of pregnancy. I am pregnant, but I'm still teaching you, right? So, sister, I cannot give you any medical advice here because we are just dealing with the psychological aspect of pregnancy. So, hope, sister, it helps. Please continue your dawah work. You can shorten the scale. You can make it a little bit limited. If you were going out and doing dawah, maybe you can hold halakas in your own home. But do not give up on it, right? You get very anxious about delivery because you listen to all the horror stories. Please don't listen to the horror stories. Why do you want to listen to it? So naturally, if a sister comes to me and she says, oh my God, delivery is the worst experience of my life, and I felt as if my 100 bones were cracking together, naturally, I wouldn't feel good about my delivery. But if I'm focusing on the fact that when I'll be delivering all my sins, most of my sins will be forgiven because of all the pain Allah subhanahu is giving me, and I'll be making du'as and the du'as will be accepted, and if I'm thinking all the good stuff, I'll not be scared of it. Why do you get scared of something? Because you have heard all the bad stuff about that. So stop listening to all those, again, all those horror stories. Everybody has a different experience, right? The fears, they materialize. I'm telling you, from psychological aspect, if you fear that, oh, I'm going to have a C-section, I'm going to have a C-section, then ultimately you will have C-sections if you do not control your fear. Because fears, they tend to materialize. Yes, different people have different stories. Different people have different experiences. That's a very, you know, customized experience, I would say. I would encourage all of you to continue doing what you love doing. If you cannot do it on a very large scale, then make it on a small scale, but continue. This is the best way to, because you know, when in the initial days of my pregnancy, I felt like giving up, like I cannot do this, I feel too weak and all that. But then I used to think that if I give up this thing, teaching, then I think that will be the easiest way to put me into depression, right? You have anxiety when you meet your doctor? Is it related to the doctor, or is it related to the experience that you have with the doctor? Mr. Sajjan, please do let me know. Only to see the doctor? Sister, again, why do you have anxiety? Is it related to the doctor? Is the doctor is not good, or is the procedure makes you anxious? Remember, you know, why do you get scared of the things? Again, if you do not take care of your fear, they will materialize. If you fear that, you know, I cannot have a normal delivery, then at the end of the day, you will not, or if you fear that, oh my God, I'm going to have a child who is not normal, or I'm going to have, you know, any experience with a doctor which will hurt me, then it will happen. You know, be strong, be emotionally strong, right? Think all the good things, visualize the good things, and visualization helps a great deal. So now maybe you can visualize that I'm going to the doctor and she's checking me and everything is good and I'm happy. And when you visualize all these things, inshallah, the experience is going to be way more better than if you just become fearful, right? One of the great ways to overcome anxiety is definitely visualize. And yes, when it comes to delivery, have good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am as my servant thinks I am. So if you're thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to, you know, give you a C-section or whatever, a cesarean, then nobody can help you. If a sister has had three bashful surgeries, and sister, I have already discussed the ways to overcome the fear. Inshallah, you can apply all those. Jazakallah khair, sister Sajna. So nice. Sister, what has happened? Let it go. Please let go of the past, because if you keep on thinking that I was delivered by the male doctor, then it will, you know, you cannot erase past, you cannot change past. The only thing you can do is to let it go. You know, if you want, then you can, you know, do istighfar. And for whatever reason, right, let it go. if you just keep on holding on to the bad experience, you wouldn't, you know, open your arms to welcome the new experiences. So inshallah, next time you will have, you'll be delivered by a female doctor, inshallah. Have good opinion of Allah again, the way sister said. So if you cannot continue physical school, maybe you can join Islamic Online University. How's that as an idea? Right? So do not give up on your, you know, your passion. Maybe you can find another way to do that. You know, what other way can you find to fulfill your passion? So if you cannot, of course, join the school again in October, then maybe some online course, some, you know, any other way that's possibly more doable. Don't give up on your passion, but that I would recommend. My contact info is bela.khan@iou.edu.gm. I'm not sure if I was supposed to give it or not. Okay, I guess the pregnant woman Yes, sister, it happens most of the time. Then you have to, you know, educate yourself and your husband as well. That's the way I was saying that most of the time I get so confused that whether the wife is pregnant or the husband is pregnant. I just have 4 more minutes to go, inshallah. So in that case, you have to educate your husband as well. Give him the articles to read, how to deal with a pregnant wife. And don't start fighting, because naturally that guy, if he's a young guy who has just graduated and got married and is all of a sudden he's become a father, it's also a new experience. So help him, learn the ways to deal with you as well. So if you are learning articles for yourself, try finding articles for him. And then, you know, make him learn that. It's a new experience. You know, tell him that we have to grow together. We have to learn to become parents together, right? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. If their husbands are not prepared, then help them, go through this experience, inshallah. Sister, I would not recommend you to postpone it. Maybe you can, rather than having 6 courses, you can have 2 courses maybe. But do not, completely give up on it. SubhanAllah, all the du'as are good. Right? Yes. Allahumma la sahira illa ma ja'alta sahla. These du'as are also very effective. Any du'a that is masnoon, it's good. All right, if you do not have any questions, I'll seek your permission again because I just have 3 more minutes to go. Not to continue with the pregnancy, no, sister. Please apply all the techniques that we have discussed here, because, you know, abortion, if you go through, you know, miscarriage is something else, but if you are aborting the baby, it's just like killing a baby, right? It's qatl. Straight away. So please apply all those things that we have just discussed, and inshallah, this is definitely going to benefit you. Spending time with me during pregnancy. Sorry, I did not read this question completely. Can you please rewrite it? I missed your question, and I'm not managing how. Not. We spend time with him. On the other hand, being her, I'm not confident of being alone with him and managing other chores. Yes, sister. If you cannot, he will call his parents. Is it a threat or what? I'm sorry. I just laughed because I felt as if it's a threat. So, you know, if you cannot manage household chores, then get help. Get help. You know, you have these maids available. SubhanAllah, it's not haram in Islam to have maids. So you can ask your husband to have your maid, because naturally, especially in the first trimester, when the girl is going so much in terms of, you know, physical health, the weakness and the nausea, naturally you cannot expect her to just take a broom and clean all the house and, you know, wash the washroom. So it's tell him very kindly and gently that I need help. Please get me a, you know, you're not confident. You're not comfortable with the parents, your in-laws. It's okay. Most of us are not comfortable with in-laws. So you can actually encourage your children to get you a maid rather than, you know, calling the husband. Yes, you can ask your own mom. The best support is your own mom, because you can do things with her that you cannot do with anyone else on earth, naturally. Right? And she'll still be smiling. All right, I'll seek your permission here. I hope the session was beneficial. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make this experience good for you and good for me. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and me with righteous, pious child, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.